No taxation without representation. 200 years of exploitation in the capital of this nation. No representation in the capital of this nation. 200 years of exploitation. Give the people their right to vote. Someone asked me, was it true? The voting rights of the district were long overdue.
That was Sweet Honey in the Rock with Give the People Their Right to Vote. Hello and welcome to Shadow Politics, an hour-long grassroots talk show which will attempt to shine a light on the issues that you care about. I'm your host, United States Senator Michael D. Brown, coming to you live from the District of Columbia, America's last colony. Along with my co-host Kathleen Gomez, we hope our show will start a dialogue with America about the issues that are important to you and affect the lives of all of us. So join in the discussion by calling in at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Or Skype us at BBS Radio 1. We're back! We have archived the last couple of weeks. We've run archived shows because we've been in the middle of a pretty intense campaign, which we'll talk about later in the show. But Kathleen and I are going to give a refresher course today on D.C. statehood. And also let us hear from you on your questions about anything we've talked about recently. Statehood, border security, what's going on in Ferguson, the Middle East, whatever. Call in and let us know how you feel. But before we start, let me introduce my co-host, Kathleen, who is drinking fruity drinks and lapping up the sun in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, while I'm stuck in the cold rain of Washington, D.C. Let me tell you, America, there is no justice in the world. Buenos noches, Señora Gomez. ¿Cómo está?
Hola.
Hola,
what? Tequila y margaritas y daiquiris, yeah, y vichy, y todas estas cosas. Oh, I tell you, it's beautiful here. You know, this is the one benefit of not having a home and roaming around, you know, the countryside and now into Mexico and having good friends who invite you to sit and say, hey, you need a break. And I was invited to come down and, oh, it is like very, very sunny, very warm. The sea is beautiful. The sand is gorgeous. And it is definitely a treat. So I have to say, and I thank you for the universe and the Lord for, you know, letting me find some good places to rest my head. You know, I mean, I was the last 2 months in your, we joke, I was not in your basement. We worked in your basement office, but I was staying with you and, you know, and I've stayed with good friends. And so it's been nice. I tell you, this is definitely, I could live here and we got a great internet connection. So maybe we can find ways.
You were in the presidential suite. You were in the presidential suite at the Brown Hilton, my son next room. Thank God you never looked under the bed. We have no idea what's under the bed.
I heard some noise. Under there.
Yeah, there might be a couple of old friends under there or something from high school. I don't know, but yeah, you know, in one of the great acts of friendship of the 21st century, you moved into my house and was my campaign manager for 2 or 3 months, and right. We ran the most amazing campaign. We'll talk about it later. We did so well that most people can't believe it, and you deserve a vacation, huh?
Thank you. They think it's an illusion. They can't quite believe it that you.
No,
came
they're
in
coming first. Up with lots of excuses for it. Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Absolutely. And you know, the sun was in retrograde, and people thought I was a convicted felon who was in jail, but they like anyway. And right. My name was first on the ballot, and so people are too lazy to read to the second name, even though the person that was 11th on the ballot is the one that won. They still. But out of 15 candidates, all of whom pretty much spent more money than I did.
Well, and like about three times as much money as you.
Yeah,
spent.
Some of them yes. spent as much as 10 times more yes. than I spent. And we still came in third. Unfortunately, the top two people win. So we were one spot out of the money, but we still did really, really well. And we did it on A Message of Statehood. And we're going to start our show today by talking about statehood, because it's been a while. We ran a couple of rerun shows because we were so busy with this campaign. We literally did it with a handful of people.
Yes. All volunteers. I must say to the audience that, you know, it shows you, you know, you've done a lot of work. You've been in the community and in all the 8 wards that consist of D.C. And it's amazing. People just don't get how well known you are. And, you know, you were well known before, but the whole thing about, and I'm going to be quite frank, the whole thing when you ran against Phil Mendelson, who to me is the biggest bully in town.
Big bully.
You know, realized you were doing so well that wasn't it some kind of survey that, you know, it freaked
yeah,
you out.
Washington Post did a poll that showed I was 12 points up among likely voters that freaked him out because he was the incumbent and he had spent hardly any money. And I was going around to forums with him and he was hugging me and talking about how cute I was, you know, isn't it cute that he's running against me? Like, you know, yeah, let's all be nice to him because everybody knows I'm going to kick his ass. And then, The Washington Post did a poll showing I was 12 points up, and oh boy, he changed quickly.
He spent $300,000, didn't he?
Hundreds of thousands, yeah.
With how many weeks left? How many weeks left?
6 weeks, probably. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, we came back this time. We came back strong
strong. The only thing, I mean, it probably would have been. It would have been a fairy tale if you had won the second place. But, you know, for a moment there, it looked really like we almost could. And I'll have to say that the excuses, you know, for the audience who isn't probably part of the inner D.C. circle, what this gentleman did, who I call, you know, Bully Mendelson, is that he created this thing that you were using. Ron Brown was, if people know, he was a mover and shaker in Democratic politics. He was a lawyer at the Democratic Committee. He was chairman of the DNC convention in 92 in New York. And he was also the Secretary of Commerce under Clinton. And he died in an airplane crash in Croatia. But he had a son whose name was Michael A. Brown. And you hired him when we were all at the DNC.
Yeah.
You hired him
to work in the mailroom
mailroom under because you were in charge of all direct mail, anything to do with mail. And they made it seem as if all of a sudden you knew he was in the race and you were going to enter based on the fact that he was Ron Brown's son and it was Michael A. Brown, you're Michael D. Brown, and there would be confusion and anyone who voted for you was really voting for the other one. Right, isn't that the gist of it?
Well, yeah, and you know what? They're still saying that. I got in an argument the other day with somebody, but the last time he was on the ballot, his name was on the ballot. He got 1,100 votes, 1,100 citywide. Right. We got what looks like we're going to get over 27,000 votes. You know, so there may be a handful of people out there confused, but not more than 1,100. We know that for a fact. And somebody said to me, they said, well, he withdrew, though, and he wasn't on the ballot. And I'm like, he wasn't on the ballot this time either. Okay. You know, it's like they find any excuse they can. But that's all right. You know, I'm not feeling so bad because look at what happened to the rest of the Democrats. First of all, before we get into this, let me just say, and we're going to get on the subject of D.C. statehood quickly here, but we have to send out warm regards and thanks to Senator Robert Menendez of New Jersey. Who is, you know, New Jersey is my home state. New Jersey is a great state to be from. Especially if you're from Newark, New Jersey, like I was. But Senator Menendez stepped up to the plate and became a co-sponsor. And this means that both senators from New Jersey, Senator Booker, who was mayor of Newark, and Senator Menendez are both co-sponsors of S-132, the new Columbia Admission Act. This brings our number of co-sponsors in the Senate to 21, which is a new all-time record for us, and 109 co-sponsors in the House. So thank you, Senator Menendez. We appreciate your support. Now we have support of most of our neighbors. We have support of both senators from Maryland, senator from Delaware, senator from Virginia, and now two senators from New Jersey. So we're on a roll, and we're going to get this. We're going to make this happen sooner or later.
Yes.
But let's talk for a minute about the disaster, the 800-pound gorilla in the room, which is that not only have the Republicans taken control of the Senate, but, oh, my God, Mitch McConnell is the new Senate Majority Leader.
I know.
Mitch McConnell.
Oh, America, I just hope you understand what you've done. You know, and if you didn't vote, shame, 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 shame on you.
Shame, shame.
And if you voted just because you think you have to vote Republican or Democrat, I mean, that's the other problem, too. I mean, I was really shocked that Pat Roberts was reelected, a guy who doesn't even own a home in Kansas, who rents, and I think 75% of the meetings and hearings and all that that take place, he's missed. You know, I mean, he's been in there 45 years, never shows up, raised his family in Virginia, and, I, you know, they didn't vote for the independent because there's just that whole thing about, you know, the Republicans, I don't know, people just can't think outside the box. I was hoping that there would be more support for candidates who are independent, although I think the Republicans painted the guy that ran against Pat Roberts as a Democrat, you know, in wolf's clothes or something, but I don't know.
Well, you know, we just got to really take more time to you know, see who we're voting for and understand what the issues are. A lot of people have said this is a referendum on President Obama. You know, they always say that in a midterm election, whoever the president is.
It always goes to the other party, too. It
almost always
does.
Yeah, because it's easy to cast blame. And a lot harder to come up with solutions. You know, Republicans have blocked everything that's come down the pike. And now they're already on Obama for this environmental package he passed with the Chinese. And they're saying that they're going to stand up against immigration reform. I mean, come on, guys. You know, what good is it to take over both houses of Congress, and then continue to be obstructionist? How about coming up with a couple of ideas and moving something forward? That'd be a unique idea. I think it was more a referendum on incumbents, too, in a lot of ways, you know, on the incumbency. Because nobody likes what's going on in Congress. Nobody does.
No. That's why I was shocked that they elected Pat Roberts, but then Kansas, you know, is very Republican, and they vote party line, and I don't know, you know, how I feel about that, but yeah, it was definitely a shock. So, you know, and it's amazing, you know, you have the mayoral race was big in D.C. as that large should have been bigger than it was. The president paid that much attention to it, and then you had the attorney general, which is the first time that's been an elected position, and that's going to be a very important role, as we see with the Republican Senate and Republican House. You know, it's going to be interesting to see what they do with D.C. laws, if they're going to intervene.
Well, they're already talking about the marijuana law. Right. You know, we passed a law legalizing marijuana, and it's one of the more liberal laws in the country. It's going to you can possess up to 2 ounces of marijuana for your own use, and you can grow up to 6 plants in your house. Of course, it's still it's still illegal to sell it, which is kind of strange. So we're looking at ways, the city council is looking at ways to, you know, control it and maybe tax it and be able to sell it. But congressman from Maryland has already stood up and said, I'm not going to let this happen, you know, even though it's decriminalized in his state. Because people in the district, any congressman can do whatever they want in the district. Congress has control of the District of Columbia, and we got to change that. Right. So that's we're already coming under attack, and we're going to have more attack. And, you know, on Friday, I went to listen to our delegate, Eleanor Holmes Norton, who did a speech for an hour on the floor talking about staving off the fight or the attack on our marijuana referendum and what we needed to do to become a state. So we'll see what happens there. But, yeah, they're already attacking us.
Mm-hmm. What did she say would be the way to become a state? I mean, what was she saying, that the only way was to become a state?
Yeah, the only way to fully protect ourselves is to become a state, because states control their own legal system, their own economic system. We don't do that in the district. Congress really has control of everything in D.C. So the only thing we can do, they can't attack the referendums, you know, that made marijuana legal in Washington State and Colorado.
Right.
Yeah. But excuse me, I'm getting tired.
You're getting old.
I am getting old. Jesus. Believe me, this campaign showed me how old I was getting. And by the way, this is kind of an inside joke. I don't think our audience will get this. But, you know, in Washington, we put up signs everywhere, campaign signs. Yes. And we try to take ours down right away after the election because we don't want it to be a blight on the neighborhood. But guess whose signs are everywhere and not coming down?
Racine.
Right, Racine.
I knew it.
Wasn't it perfect? Because he put up so many and put them on top of other people's signs, and we were annoyed and had to call his campaign manager. And now, of course, they're the ones that aren't coming down. So,
and you know what's interesting is this is, like you always say, this is the devil in the details. When we were, you know, it's a little thing like signs. Now, I don't know. It's probably this way, maybe not in other places, but in D.C., it's like you have to have 100,000 signs out, or people think, you know, why don't you have signs? So it becomes this frenzy to have signs in every corner and every, you know, polling place and everywhere you can even think of looking. And so it gets really ridiculous. But, you know, the law is that you can only have one sign, right? Or two on a corner. Is that how it was?
Well, and one on a pole. You can have three within a block of each other. But it's ridiculous. It's not enforced. I mean, sometimes people will put 20 on a street corner. And when you have 15 candidates, which we had running for one office, and then another, you know, 20 candidates, not including the neighborhood candidates. I mean, some polls were just ridiculous. You couldn't read the names and the signs for all the signs that were on the polls. So it was crazy.
And he was running for attorney general, and you know, he won. And a lot of the polls, he would have 7 or 8 on one poll, and he was putting it on top of ours. So, you know, I always thought, you know, how sad it is, because this is a guy who's supposed to enforce the laws, and he's not even abiding by them when he runs. And now they're supposed to be down as soon as possible, and he's not abiding by them now. I mean, it's terrible.
Well, I think they get 60 days or something. But, you know, we like to take ours down because it pisses neighbors off to have so many of
them.
They become an eyesore. So, and a lot of other candidates are out there doing the same thing, getting them down as quick as they can. But I just thought that was amusing because he was so anxious to get them all up. But anyway, back to statehood. So now, where do we stand now in our struggle for statehood? We've got a statehood bill in. 130 co-sponsors, right? 109 in the House and 21 in the Senate.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm old. I need something to drink.
So yes, you got that many in the Senate. And so now we're going to be facing a Republican-controlled Senate and House, right?
Yeah, a Republican-controlled Senate and House. And it's, it's going to be a real challenge to move this. But what, you know, every 2 years we get a new Congress. So we've been at this for 213 years. What's another couple of years? We need to prepare right now to move the ball forward. So that's what we're going to do.
Right.
So what's up in, there's not much new, I guess, going on.
So when we talk about, I think there is. I think there's something that we haven't really talked about, and that's about, like, the city council and whether you have now a city council that supports statehood.
Yes.
And, you know, one of your things, I mean, you were good on all the issues and you didn't want to make statehood the only thing you were about. But at the end, I think that was what people wanted to see, is somebody that would be on the city council that was pro-statehood and would look to fund it and look to really give it the level of credibility in the city council that it should be and that it should have. So you're back. You're still a senator for the next 4 years. Right. And just, I mean, this was awful. Bully Mendelsohn, as I like to call him. There was legislation that would have paid you guys some money and given you enough money to have a staff and actually be able to do some promoting and marketing and outreach or whatever for statehood for D.C. But he brought in another at the last minute, which I think was a control issue, a bully thing, and he was realizing it's a popular movement, another piece of legislation, which I think is just trying to cut you off at your knees. And I'm just deplored and just disgusted with the organizations that have been so called there to fight for statehood and think this new legislation is a good thing. This is why, in some ways, you know, I'm standing from the outside and I don't have any really, you know, bone to chew on this other than these people don't deserve to have statehood because they don't act like a state should. And they've limited themselves into wanting to be so in a circle and so part of a group. And this group is like a lot of activists get. They just churn each other's thoughts. They don't reach out. They don't do anything different. They don't get the common person involved. And then they start to just, as long as they can stay in existence, as long as they can stay on top of the issue and be seen as people who are working on it, that's all they really care about. This piece of legislation that is now law is the kind of thing that is just, it to me, is just disgusting. And that's, and they passed it without even telling you, without even letting you make a comment. They did it behind your back.
Well, they did. Well, that's a little, that's not completely true, but it is true that the legislation really hurts us more than helps us. Now, one of the reasons that many activists think that it's a good thing is because there's a little money involved. They don't understand that it comes with a lot of control. But there are some activists who are like, wow, we're going to get some money into the delegation. Won't that be great? And it also consolidates several of the components that were out there that were supposed to help us but were never enacted over the years. So on the surface, it seems like a good thing. And that's one of the clever things about it, is that it appears to be a good thing, but it's not a good thing. It actually limits what we can do by not giving us enough money and by putting in more control over us and really downgrading what our delegation is supposed to be.
Let me put it in simple terms, because you're a politician. What the original one was to give you like $75,000 for the delegation so you would have a salary, give you about $480,000, right, for staff and for office supplies and budgeting and marketing and stuff for each of the three offices, which is the two senators.
Well, this is the original thing. This was passed. Twenty some years ago, but it was supposed to come with $1 million back then, which would be $3 or $4 million today. Now it's not coming with anywhere near that kind of money. It's coming with a few hundred thousand dollars instead of millions of dollars. So there was another bill put in that would have paid us $35,000 and given us a little money for this and given the council money for that. And then it was modified. There was a substitute put in that would have given us what you're talking about, $75,000 in salary, enough to hire staff, enough to do programming, and that's what we've tried to push. And the whole bill comes to about $1.4 million, which when you consider it as part of a $9 billion plus budget, is really just a drop in the bucket for a something that's supposed to be a priority in our city. And it's actually less money than council members get to run their office, or that all three offices together would get less money than one councilman's office or one congressional office. And when this office was created, we were supposed to be paid what congressmen are paid, what senators are paid. That's $174,000 a year.
Okay, now this new legislation that passed Phil Mendelson did call you the night before he was going to bring it up that morning. Okay, yeah. So he did give it. Well, if you want to call that some kind of, awareness program he has for notifying people of something that's going to, really impact what they do. And then when it was supposed to get the second reading, you were not notified at all when that was going to happen.
No. We weren't really notified. The first time, we were just notified. We weren't asked for any input. When we had input on the other legislation, we had some, the one that we were in favor of, we had more than 30 people show up, and all of them but one agreed that we should do it. So we had a lot of input on that. But on this, we weren't allowed to testify about it. It was brought up at when the first reading was done, we pushed on one council member to make some changes, which she never made. And in the end, they approved unanimously to really downgrade our whole delegation. And
let's be real clear on what that does. What this new legislation does is basically say, okay, the mayor and the council, which is Phil Mendelson, chair of the council,
right,
will be involved in, you will go to them with your budget. You will go to them, once a year or twice to tell them what you're doing, right?
Right.
It will hire somebody, a manager, who will manage the three of you, the two U.S. senators and the other House of Representatives.
Well, the money. They'll manage the money, yeah.
You're being nice. He's going to be paid $97,000, $98,000.
We pay him as much as $97,500.
Okay. To manage what little money now is left, because what is it? The package.
$124,000.
Okay. So he's going to manage this money that supposedly is going to be split between the three of you guys. You guys aren't going to get paid at all. You will have no salary.
Right.
So you might get, $35,000?
We'll get paid.
Yes. Huh? But at $97,000.
Right. Well, we don't have to. We're not required to pay him that much, but we could pay him up to that much if we wanted to. So,
but it has to be voted. It's not just your decision for your office or the other senators or the other rep. No, the five of you have to agree on everything, correct? So the five of you.
No. Just a majority. So the three of us.
They still vote. You still have.
They're co-chairman of the committee. So whatever the hell that means at this point. I mean,
you are a U.S. senator that got 207,000 votes, and they want to treat you like, I don't know, like you're in the college Republican Party or something, or the college Dem Party. I don't know. It's just ridiculous.
It's absolutely preposterous that they want control. We're elected officials just like they are, and that's the whole thing. They want control, and they're afraid of us because they don't want anybody to have any power. but the people on the council. And let me tell you that they don't, you know, we're not going to move the statehood platform forward in this manner as long as they have control, because they're not interested. And let me also say that when we say we don't mean all the people on the council. There are actually 6 out of 13 people. All we need is 7 that would sponsor the legislation that we're interested in. And we're pretty sure that we could get the 7th to come on board with that legislation. But unfortunately, our friend and colleague and big bad bully, Phil Mickelson, who's chairman of the committee, won't let the legislation move. He won't let it move forward. And he's put this other stuff forth to make it look like he's doing something. And he is doing something. He's holding us back. And that's happened. But
and putting himself in the middle of trying to, so that if anything moves forward, he can weather it and see whether he's going to jump on that train or not. I mean, this guy is the typical power ego kind of type of politician that we all really resent and does nothing for the people. I mean, this is the guy that hired his girlfriend is what, the consultant for the big, huge D.C. stadium issue for soccer? And she's not getting paid, but oh my gosh, she's the one who's negotiating. Is she brokering, or what is she doing? A consultant?
Well, she's one of the consultants on, and it's funny because that's just coming to bear right now. They're talking about it right now, and it was in the paper today. So we'll see how that pans out. But yeah, they've decided that this is an issue that's probably a little too complex for us to get into and make you understand. But there's a government building that's part of the deal that would be traded off for land to build a stadium on. And they decided today, it said in the Washington Post, that first, the building's been undervalued by almost $12 million. And two, The estimate of $139 million that would accrue to the city has been downgraded by $71,000 because it includes the land deal. So really the city would make about a third on the soccer stadium what it was originally projected to make. So we'll see how that pans out. But look, before we get, we're gonna calm Kathleen down and get her a pina colada, and we're gonna take a little break here. But this song, you know, let me just say to all the people out there, we're not giving up this fight. We're not going down. And going to take this legislation on the chin without fighting about it. We'll continue to work hard to change things in the district. And this song goes out to everyone, especially those people that worked on my campaign, because we sent a message to City Hall, and that is with a handful of people and no money, we got a lot done, and we're going to continue to get things done. So this goes out to everyone that worked on my campaign, but especially to Patty, Kathleen, Rachel, and Bonnie. Here's an oldie but a goodie. From Tom Petty. We'll be back in a few minutes. And we won't back down. I hope they're getting the message out there, because we're going to get this done. Look, I was elected 8 years ago to make the district a state, and I've done every damn thing I can think of to do that. I've run for city office. I've put up billboards. I've done every, you know, I've gone to meetings. We have this radio show. We have a nationwide nonprofit. So we're going to keep at it, folks, until we get it done. And, and if you're out there and you have any good ideas, call us, let us know what you think. 888-627-6008. because we need some good ideas on how to make this happen. We're now reaching out through social media. So, yeah, you need to reach out to us at BBS Radio if you want to be on our Twitter feed or on our Facebook page or whatever. Let us know, because we're getting good at it, huh, Kathleen?
Yes, and I actually, maybe we should even have a kind of our own Twitter account for statehood. Maybe we should do that. It's amazing. I mean, that's one good thing about your campaign. I definitely have an understanding of social media and how many people it reaches. And I think that what we can do now is kind of tell people that what this kind of message is sent to us by the voters is that they don't want us to give up, and maybe we need to think outside the box. Instead of going the traditional route, right, through the city council and getting funding for them. And, you know, hopefully there'll be supporters, and hopefully they'll see that the voters really want this. And if not, we're decided to go and look outside of that box and go to other funding streams and go to people who we know are interested in this issue.
Right. And we're going to do that. We're going to form a new public interest group that will just work for statehood. It's called No Other Way, the No Other Way Foundation, right, Kathleen?
That's right.
N-O-W Statehood. No Other Way. There's no other way to freedom for the District of Columbia than statehood. And if you're out there and you believe in statehood, we're going to be back on the air in a week or so with details about how you can help us raise money and help us raise awareness and help us get this done. Imagine, America, you're getting the opportunity here to work on something that would change this country forever. If you help the people of the District of Columbia get their equal rights, then that will never change. You know, once you become a state, nobody destates you. And once the District of Columbia becomes a state, you will have enfranchised 650,000 people today, but millions and millions and millions of people in the future. And you'll change the face of America forever. And it's time that we do that. In fact, tomorrow, Kathleen, we're going to be launching our new logo. We have a new logo for the movement. And it's very cool. Yes, it's red, white, and blue to signify that the district has been part of America since America began. It's got a shooting star in the middle of it, because that's where we're coming from. We're coming out of the blue, and we're going to be the new state. It's got eight stars around the border to represent the eight wards of the city. It's very, very cool, and we thought about it very hard, and so we're going to get that out there. We'll get T-shirts, and if you call in with a good idea, we'll send you a new Columbia T-shirt. Be the first one on your block to have one.
There really you go. Cool,
you know.
And this is through one of the statehood organizations, or through your office?
It's through me.
Through you? Oh
yeah.
My gosh! You
Yeah, the guy with no money. The guy with no money. It's through me. Nobody's paying for it but me.
Well, you know, we're
just
definitely.
If Phil was paying for it, it had to be a sleeveless T-shirt. Couldn't even get sleeves on that bad boy.
Well, I think what we're going to do is approach people who definitely support statehood, but just nobody's reached out to them. I mean,
yes.
We've got a lot of organizations. One thing about doing all those forums and debates is that we met a lot of different organizations throughout the city that all feel that statehood is something, you know, that is needed. And they haven't really been approached or brought into the movement, into the organization. So I think that we have a lot of exciting work. And we'd like to know any ideas that you have, especially in, I think one of our big issues is making sure that the rest of America knows the plight of what's happening to people in D.C. So if you have any ideas on how to spread that information, and, you know, maybe, you know, it's through Twitter or through Instagram. It's amazing what those kind of tools you have nowadays to spread the word. It just goes pretty far.
Well, you know, and the thing that really bothers me is that if we could move this legislation that would give us the money to function. You know, I've already thought about the you know, what I would do with the money. I put in a preliminary budget, actually, which is kind of silly. I shouldn't have to do that. I'm an elected official, but I did anyway, so that they would have some sense of what I wanted to do with the money. And and one of the things is that it would give me just enough money to hire two staff people. And I already have two staff people in mind, you and Rachel. And, you know, I think to myself, look at how much the three of us accomplished, right, with Patty and Bonnie and a few other people. Look at how the three of us just went through this city and ran a campaign that, I don't care what you say, we had the best campaign out there. Yes, I mean, we may have come in third instead of second. Nobody was going to come in first but the Democrat. We all knew that. Mm-hmm. And we all fought over the second seat. And maybe the 14 of us that were fighting, we came in second instead of first for that seat. But we ran the best campaign with no money, with no support, with no endorsements, with no with nothing. We ran a great campaign, and we came in second for that seat. You know, the Washington Post didn't even bother to call us to talk to our campaign to see if they would endorse us, and they endorsed two other candidates, and we kicked the snot out of them. We beat them handily. And just think what the three of us could do for statehood if they would give us a little money and give us a little support.
I know, we'd really go far. And you know, the thing that people say, probably are thinking, well, how do you get elected if you don't have the machine and the endorsements and the money? Everyone knew you because you, for the past 8 years, have gone to all the community association meetings, to all the Democratic, monthly meetings and whatever was going on, you've been to, so people know who you are. And believe me, to those naysayers that say, oh, no, they all think he was the younger black guy, African-American guy who was in jail, you know, that's who they had him confused with. And you're what? He's maybe in his late 30s, early 40s, and you're 60-something young, and you happen to be, you know, I don't, gringo, I guess, or Anglo or something. But let me tell you, when you're out there, and I was hanging those posters, and we were talking to people, and I would say, do you know who this is? Yes. And I mean, it's funny, because they go, yeah, we know it's the white Mike. We know he's our senator. We're not confused. And they feel insulted. And I would say to all those journalists, as they call themselves, which I really, after running, being with you in this race, just made me really think so badly of the press, because they make their own assumptions. They don't investigate. They don't do research. They just go with what the flow is and where they think they will come out ahead. And, you know, there's no confusion among the voters who voted for you. They know who they, you know, they know who you are, and they know who they voted for. So it's very insulting, and I think it's very racist to assume that the people that vote for you are all African American and have no clue on who you are, or who's in jail, or what's going on. They're just, I guess, dumb and blind, or just dumb because they're just going to vote for somebody because they don't know any better. I mean, it makes no sense, and it's very, very degrading to the people of the District of Columbia.
Well, you know, we've said that all along, and like I say, it doesn't matter to them. We've said the other Michael Brown got 1,100 votes in the last election. He got 1,100 votes citywide. So it really doesn't explain very much to say that people are confused. But the press loves that story. You know, one thing that I've learned about the press that really I never knew before is how sanctimonious they are. They really think they're smarter than the rest of us. And it really surprised me, you know. So they love this idea that nobody out there knows what they're doing except them. They're the only people that are, you know, in touch with what's going on in the world. And that's
right,
a problem.
Right.
Instead of reporting the news and telling you what's out there, now they so often try to tell you how to think. You know, to explain it all to you, like you're not smart enough to realize it. And it really, really bothers me, because voters are much smarter than they're given credit for. And we've seen that over and over and over again. So, and here in Washington, it's terrible. You know, we've had one of the most corrupt governments in the district, in the United States recently. We've had three members of the city council either resign in disgrace or go to jail. We've had two of them went to jail. One of them just resigned and avoided going to jail. We had another councilman that was just beat for re-election because of the things he was involved in. A mayor who has been under investigation almost since the day he took office. And we have five of his people that are about to be, some of them are about to be sentenced. Five of them. Five people out of one campaign, that's more people than we had in our campaign, that have pled guilty to serious charges. And two other people that ran for the city council, a guy named Jeff Smith and another guy named Kelvin Robinson, who have both pleaded guilty. And this is just since the last election. And a guy named Jeffrey Thompson, who gave money to everybody but one person on the city council. So it's just been a mess. We need to clear it up. We've just elected three new members to the city council. So my hope is that they will, you know, change some of that, and that we're changing the landscape slowly but surely. But yeah, it's been terrible, and it's been funny. You know, you have the press out there, papers like the Washington Post, who are telling everybody how to think. But did any of them find any of this stuff? No, they didn't find any of this stuff. This was all brought to light by other candidates. Yeah, a crazy guy named Suleiman Brown and another guy named Tim Day, who brought this to light. Other than that, it would have never happened.
It is amazing. And you know, the city council, well, I know you don't like to beat them up, and there are some who are friendly to the movement of statehood, but you know, they really got to get their act together, and people got to get involved. And it's amazing being in that city, how it is two worlds. It's the world of city politics and then this whole other world of national, federal level politics. And it's amazing how many live in D.C. and don't know anything about what's going on as far as the policies that are being made and how their money is being spent. I mean, they live there, they pay high property taxes. It amazes me they don't get involved, or at least know what's going on.
Yeah, know what's going on. And they just see, you know, it's funny when we're out on the campaign trail, we have a streetcar line that's just open in the District of Columbia, but it hasn't opened. They just run it up and down the street with empty cars testing it. And it's funny how often did that come up, Kathleen? I'm actually in favor of streetcars, but it just came up. People are saying, what are these things? We see them move up and down the street, but nobody's ever in them. You know, and
that's,
it's
a,
like,
month now.
Yeah, at least a month. And how long do you have to test them? They're on a track. It's not like you can get lost, or, you know, you should have to push the thing forward, it goes forward, and push it back, it goes back. I mean, I don't even know if it goes in reverse. It might not. I guess it must, because you gotta go both ways on the track. But, you know, and it only travels, I don't know how far, but only a couple of miles on one street in the District of Columbia. And they're making such a big deal out of it. You know, it's just incredible to me how much money they spend and how much they waste, and you know, how much is how much influence the developers have. One of the issues that Kathleen and I worked on was Macmillan Park, as you know, Kathleen. And actually, we put up a big campaign sign at Macmillan Park, and I don't know if I told you, but when Rachel was taking it down, some woman asked if she could have it. So I actually have groupies now. I just want you to know that. There's somebody out there with a Michael Brown campaign sign that covers their whole living room wall because it was gigantic. But anyway, you know, that's one of the things we're discussing, and there are many people in the area that want to take this beautiful old piece of land, which sits right in the middle of one of the densely populated wards of the city and has 24 acres underground of these beautiful caverns that could be turned into something useful. And meanwhile, developers are talking about filling it all in, building a couple of big buildings, putting a little green space, leaving a little green space, and moving on. And the neighbors, I went to a hearing just the other day on it, Kathleen. The neighbors are up in arms about it. They want there are many neighbors that want it kept as green space. They want to find a reasonable use for 24 acres of underground facility. Think what you could put there. You know, you could put all sorts of everything from a farmer's market to, you know, classrooms to teach people about the environment. To a theater, to, you know, all sorts of cool stuff that would help the neighborhood. I don't think people understand. And you are always banging the gong about getting people involved, about them getting involved. You need to get involved, people. Go to a neighborhood meeting. You'll be surprised what you find out.
Yes. You know? And let me tell you, I was really impressed by their civic associations in the different wards and the different neighborhoods. And, you know, they are getting involved in D.C. because they're realizing they're getting pushed out of their own city that they've lived in for generations. And, you know, that's coming down the line, too, if it isn't already happening. And people need to get involved. They need to create and be involved in the cities that they live in. Because let me tell you, these councils make all kinds of rules and laws, and they really impact everything in your life, and you've got to get involved. And you know what? Those people in McMillan, who is their council?
A guy named Kenya McDuffie.
Well, and I know he just got reelected, right?
He just got reelected, but he supported Kennedy. He supported a candidate who we beat.
Yes. And that's another thing I want to talk about is endorsements. I know we don't have time. But, you know, if that councilman doesn't do what the people in his ward wants, and that's to protect McMillan Park, they should recall him. If he looks like all of a sudden now he's going the way of the developers, there's a great thing called recall.
Well, you know, that's what we said at one hearing when they talked about gentrification and how they reelect the same people over and over again. You know, I was saying, you're not only being pushed out, you're being sold out. You're being sold out by the people you keep on putting in there. We have to elect people that are going to represent the interests of the people. And if they don't, you're right. You have to have the guts to stand up to the plate and remove them, you know, not just because they're doing something illegal or not just because, you know, don't reelect them just because you recognize their name. Stand up and say, you know, you're not doing what I want you to do. And that's why I elected you.
Exactly.
That's what politics is supposed to be about in America. You know, so, well, we got 60 seconds, so I'm going to let you say goodbye, Kathleen. And next week we're going to have a guest. Even if I have to go on the, I don't know, but I'm going to find one. And it's going to be interesting.
We got a lot of great people that we kind of met and got to know for the statehood thing. And I have to tell you that it was a great campaign. I learned a lot. And I can't help but be thankful as I sit out here on this beautiful in this beautiful condominium looking at the sunset on the Pacific Ocean in Mexico. And it's warm and it's beautiful. And there's seashells and there's sand. And I'm feeling very good. I'm not angry, if you notice. I'm a lot calmer. So I have the... I have Puerto Vallarta to thank, and thank you, Michael, and it's just great to be alive.
Adios, amigo. Vaya con Dios.
Hasta luego.
Thanks, America. Give the people their right to vote. Give the people their right to vote. Give the people their right to vote. Give the people their right to vote.